Welcome, everybody, to the Friar Talk podcast. Today, we're going to be recapping the Rangers series, previewing the Pirates series, and then talking about Victor Caratini potentially being the starting catcher, and then also the Adrian Morahone injury, and talk about the impacts of that. But let's start out with first off, Joe Musgrove. He did it. He did the no-hitter. And the Padres, the whole franchise has kind of been waiting for that moment for a long time. And I think that's just a really, really fantastic way to start this season. We had a whole quick little episode on it earlier, but I just want to say that that was pretty fantastic that that happened within the first 10 games of this season, because this is the most, I think this is the most anticipated Padres season in quite some time, in my lifetime for sure. And so that's just what a way to start it off. So props to Joe Musgrove for doing that. And we're going to talk a lot about him. And I guess we can start out with him. I just want to know what you guys think about this possibility. If he's slated to pitch against the Pirates, if he goes out there, dominates against the Pirates, and then has a couple more dominant series, do you guys think that he's the early favorite to win the Cy Young? And Chase, start it off for me.
Yeah, I would say that he is. Right now, he currently leads the MLB with like 15 innings pitched, and he has a zero ERA, which is like tied. I know there's a couple other pitchers that have it, but if he continues to go out there and just continues to build off of what he does, maybe gives up a run or two in like the next two or three outings, but still continues to go like 6 to 8 innings, because going a full game is really hard, especially with Tinkler's pool happy bullpen. Yeah, if he continues to go 6+ innings with one or fewer earned runs, I'd say he's the favorite to win Cy Young this year, as long as he keeps his strikeouts up, because sometimes, you know, that's a deciding factor.
Yeah, and there's probably going to be people who think we might be jumping the gun, but I mean, this is the expectation we have out of Joe Musgrove. He's a really solid pitcher. You know, we've said it time and time again, whenever you leave Pittsburgh, you're probably going to succeed, because everyone sucks in Pittsburgh. This is just the expectation we have for Joe Musgrove. If he goes and balls out against the Pirates, I hope they only throw him for like 5 innings, because he did have a lot of pitches in the no-no. But if he faces the Dodgers, there's one guy I want to beat the Dodgers real bad. It's him, because, you know, like we mentioned in our Musgrove video, he grew up hating the Dodgers. And so Joe Musgrove, if he keeps this up, he could be an early Cy Young candidate. We see DeGrom is striking out 14 people and still losing, unfortunately. Poor guy. But, you know, no Joe. He's a guy we expect to keep this up.
Yeah, no, it's been really extraordinary how well he started out. And then looking at some other stuff, like when you start talking about him winning a Cy Young, like it's definitely really early, but if he continues to perform, I think there's gotta be a chance. And it's definitely really early, but I think that we all think that he has nasty stuff. Also, I know there's some Pirates fans that were listening to a previous episode about Joe Musgrove, and it is unfortunate that when people leave Pittsburgh, it seems like they get a lot better. But that's just been the pattern recently. So if that continues, I mean, you got to expect that Joe Musgrove is going to just develop into a very, very good player, because he has the stuff to do it, I think. And that's what we all believe. And that's why we thought it was such an underrated move of bringing him over. But I guess one of the things that we kind of weren't really projecting this year is the bullpen. Because I feel like we all three thought that was the weakest aspect of the game. If you're just breaking it down, starting pitching, relief pitching, and hitting, like, the hitting side of it, we thought was probably the strength. And then the starters, we thought were the strength too. And there's been a few injuries and some stuff going down. You know, Paddock hasn't looked really great. Even Darvish struggled in the opener. It just hasn't been like super dominant on that side. But the bullpen has a 0.84 ERA. And if you doubled that, it would still be the best in the league. So what do you guys think about the bullpen? I just think it's kind of been absurd how good they've been.
Yeah, we all kind of know that they had the potential to be really great, and it wasn't until, you know, they signed a couple guys who were like, you know what, this could be the best bullpen in baseball, and they're currently living up to the title. Like, I think there's maybe 2 guys that have an ERA over 0, and, I mean, there should be one more, but we're not going to talk about that right now. But, yeah, the bullpen has completely blown our expectations out of the water.
Yeah, how about our guy Craig Stammen coming in today and throwing 3 scoreless? You know, we give that guy a hard time, but he came in today, and especially like in something so unexpected in terms of like a Morahone injury where he didn't even really get much time to warm up, and he threw 3 great scoreless innings, and The whole bullpen held it down throughout the whole game. You know, they got themselves into a couple jams, but it was great to see them get out of it. I think the best one was Pagan. He got himself into a bases loaded jam, and he got out of it. So that's the kind of things we want to see out of the bullpen, getting our starters or themselves out of jams, and that's definitely what we've seen so far.
Another guy that you didn't mention there was Taylor Williams, who I don't think we weren't even expecting him to make the roster. Because who is the guy that we thought was going to make the roster over him? Younger guy.
Nair.
Yeah, Reese Nair. We thought he was going to make the roster, and we thought that would make more sense. And Taylor Williams made the roster, and we're like, okay, that was the only guy that we didn't think was going to make it. Let's see how he does. He's been fantastic. He has a 0 ERA as well, and he's looked really, really good. So, also, we got to see Austin Adams today. So he looked really good. Like, we've got to see some of these guys. We haven't got to see Chase, your guy. I'm blanking on his name. Pierce Johnson. We haven't got to see Pierce Johnson yet, so that's another guy. And just everyone's been really, really fantastic. I think the other big aspect of this game was something that we were super excited for. We even dropped an episode solely for him and Trent Grisham, which, I mean, we all love Trent Grisham a lot. We think he is a fantastic player. And I was talking to you today earlier, Isaac, and we were saying that we both think he's a building block of the future. And I really do believe that. I think that there's a handful of guys that this team's really trying to build around. And this is probably going to be an episode down the road just because it's so interesting. And when you get closer to the trade deadline, you want to know who's a movable guy, who's not. I don't think Trent Grisham is a movable player right now. Like, I don't think there's any chance. Like, he's in their plans, and he's in their long-term plans right now, I believe. But what do you guys think about his performance, and did you expect it?
So I kind of expected him to come out of the gate a little hot, but I didn't expect him, you know, kind of carrying the Padres on his own. We probably won two of the three games just because Grisham decided to hit home runs in the right times. He was able to, you know, get his, you know, drag bunt singles in. He tried a couple of times, got one down. His two home runs in the last two games have been clutch. One was, I think both of them were go-ahead home runs. One was a two-run shot, then the other one was a solo shot in a game. And the other one didn't come until the ninth inning. So, you know, that one home run was a big difference in that game. So, yeah, Grisham sort of is carrying the Padres right now. It's something that we needed.
Yeah, and I noticed, you know, there's quite a bit of differing opinions when it comes to Trent Grisham. Us three all love him, but I know there's some people that hate how much he strikes out or how inconsistent he can be. And it's just, we don't need him to be that super consistent player. He can be that boomer bust player, because that boomer bust player is single-handedly going to win us some games. And that's really what we want from Trent Grisham, you know? Other than that one mishap in center field, he always looks like a gold glove center fielder, and he always just looks like a great ball player, good on the base path, great hitter. He hits bombs, and this is what we expected from Trent Grisham. We've said before he can be a star in this league.
I know. I think he's one of the most exciting players on the team for sure. And he does have, he's had a few, like, you know, little mistakes in the outfield in his career, but it's going to improve. He's still a young player. You know, he's still going to get to play center field more. And the fact that he won a gold glove in center field last year, I definitely feel like he earned it. Like, you kind of look back and you go, wow, he did a fantastic job playing center field. Like, he looked really, really good. And that was one of the question marks coming in with the Padres roster, was like, who's going to be the center fielder? Is it really going to be Trent Grisham? Can he even do that? And then he won the gold glove. So the talent is definitely there. It's all around. The biggest kind of like issue with him is like, oh, he hits like 240 to 260. If that just slightly improved, he would be looked at completely differently, I believe. Because he has the power, he has the speed, and he won a gold glove at, what is it, 24, 25 years old? Like, he's super young. He's a five-tool player potentially if he can hit for a little bit better average. So I guess that's the one tool that's missing. But fantastic start of the weekend for him. And he definitely brought like just a lot of energy, which was really cool to see. Another boomer bust player, though, Machado, just wanted to bring him up, got ejected. Then the first three at-bats today, struggling, getting called out on a very, very questionable call. Can't believe that was called a third strike. But then he hits a bomb in the ninth inning and kind of solidifies the Padres' win, I think, with that home run, which was great to see. If that's like the thing that gets him going, sweet. If not, there's no reason to worry. Like, I think we've established that Manny Machado is a superstar. And we've seen him, how he plays, pretty solid. And then he can single-handedly will the Padres to a whole series win on his own when he gets going. Like, that's what happens. Like, there are sweeps because Manny Machado is so on that every time he comes up, it seems like he's driving guys in, where he's hitting 600 for like a week or 2 weeks. And he does this stuff. And that's just how he's been throughout his career. So I'm not really concerned about this, these boomer bust guys, because there's also like a lot of players that are pretty solid and pretty consistent mixed in with the lineup, like the Fernando Tatises. You know, there's a lot of guys like that, Jake Cronenworth. So you just have a lot of diversity in this lineup, which I like a lot, and a lot of different kind of bats and guys that bring different things to the table. And I think that's why we see them just so successful and actually getting wins with it. The only kind of like big question, I guess, you could talk about Ha-Seong Kim, but I think we all are pretty comfortable with how he's going to play out. It's just going to be a, you know, some like growth spurts, I guess, of like adjusting to the speed. But the only guy that hasn't been is Tommy Pham. And I'll let you start this one, Isaac, because I think you're a Tommy Pham hater at this point. I think that's how people feel about your takes on him. But my question for you is, should we be patient with Tommy Pham still?
Yeah, I don't like the guy, but I'm going to be patient. he does have a pretty high barrel rate percentage, and you know, there are some hits that they're just not falling, but there's one play I really want to emphasize, and I think we all have the same opinion on it. Chris Paddock is pitching, and we know he gets lit up all the time anyway. So there's a ball hit down the left field line, kind of close to the left field line, and I see him jogging to it, and he like slowly picks it up, and it goes from a double to a triple. I don't think my hate for Tommy Pham was worse at any point last year or this year so far. It was pretty bad. Grounded out into like two double plays, but I'm going to be patient. He does get on a lot. He used to get on a lot at least. And, you know, his barrel rate percentage shows that there's going to be some improvement. So we just got to hope at this point that he does improve, because if not, left field is going to be a big hole to fill in. But luckily, Profar can fill that hole like he showed last year.
I was going to say, I do think he can fill that hole. It's really frustrating to watch him struggle. I mean, like, man, it seemed every at bat, he seemed to barrel one. It was just a warning track. And it was like warning track to all fields. Like, okay, wow, he nailed this one to center. What if he can just do that to left field? And he'll hit it to left field, and you're like, it stopped at the wall. What the hell? You know, it's just, he barrels these, but it's just short every single time, and it's really frustrating to watch. So thank God we signed Profar in the offseason, because he's been hitting the ball like crazy and he can play left field too. Oh, and I just wanted to say congrats to Ha-Seong Kim on his first MLB home run, because I don't think any of us have said that. That was an absolute shot. Great to see.
That was definitely super exciting, and you saw the whole dugout get excited and give him the silent treatment and stuff, which was always cool to see. I'm really excited for Ha-Seong Kim, by the way, because I think that he is going to have a really good second half of the year. But Tommy Pham, it's getting to the point where it's getting hard to be patient. I still definitely think we have to be, but it's definitely getting tough, because it's just like we haven't seen it out of him. But the final guy I kind of want to talk about a little bit is Chris Paddock. And I thought, he had the rough second inning, but he looked pretty solid like before that. And then, of course, he gets pulled out, and he looks like he's pouting in the dugout. So that did not help, like, how his outing looked, I feel like. Like, it just left, like, a sour taste in your mouth almost, just seeing him, like, pouting in the dugout, which was really weird. But I got to ask you, Chase, you had an interesting comp for Chris Paddock. So you want to tell everyone what that is?
So I said he's kind of like the Chihuahua. You know, he's kind of like all bark until, you know, he gets backed into a corner of a game and he just seems to like tremble in fear and can't get out of it. You know, it's like, oh my God, he gives up a double and then he just doesn't end, you know, the Tommy Pham, you know, walking to a ball practically doesn't help, but he still would have given up 3 runs that inning no matter what. You know, time and time again, we have seen him, you know, wow, he looks really solid the first inning, but the moment someone gets on and kind of challenges him, he seems to crumble under the weight of the pressure like a Chihuahua would if he was backed into a corner. So that's my comparison.
Yeah, and I think out of us three, unreasonably, I've been probably the most optimistic about Paddock, because, you know, I've just wanted him to succeed real bad. You know, ever since I saw him in 2019, I was just like, wow, this is like, it took a long time for me to see a pitcher like that that actually had the potential that Chris Paddock had in a Padres uniform. But that outing, it was tough to see him go that one inning, because like he let up a hit and then it was just a never-ending cycle. He barely got out of it. And I guess the biggest problem throughout these last two starts was – or two or three? Two, okay. The biggest problem was that he just – like his pitch count just goes up and up because he doesn't have that pitch that can strike anyone out. And that's going to be his biggest issue. You know, so far, it just looks like Paddock is going to be that guy who's going to give you three or four innings, kind of like the way we had those bullpen days last year, but we had more Morejon go three or four. It seems like Paddock is kind of destined for that role, because if he gets to the second or the third go around of the lineup, he's going to get rocked. Hopefully that can change, but it's very hard to see Chris Paddock as anything more than what I just said.
Yeah, no, I think you're right about that. And that's just, it's just been frustrating to see how he's been. We're going to talk about him a little bit when we're previewing the Pirates series, because he is expected to pitch in that series on Thursday, I think. Yeah, Thursday. So we'll talk a little bit more about him and kind of like where he's at as well. But that's going to wrap it up for the recap segment. If you're listening on YouTube and you want to check out the podcast, it's going to be in the in the description. And then if you're listening on podcast, just keep listening. We're going to go through the preview here in a second. Moving on then. The Morejon injury impact. Who do you guys think is going to take that starting spot? I think that there's three guys that are kind of in play here. I think there are Mackenzie Gore, Ryan Weathers, and Denilson Lamet. But I'll let you start, Chase. Who do you think is the guy that's going to take that spot, which I assume is going to be Friday against the Dodgers? That's when I guess this guy is going to pitch next. But who's that guy, Chase?
I want to say it's going to be Lamet. I feel like they can just hold off because we don't need another starter for the next four, maybe 5 days. So I do think it's Lamet. I think he pitched like a alt-site game and went like four innings. So he's building his way back up. So I do think it's going to be Lamet. If not, I think it's Weathers. We haven't heard from Gore whether he's reported back at the minor league sites or is at the alt-site. And I just feel like, you know, Weathers has gone, you know, three innings already. He's kind of stretched out. He's been pitching against the MLB hitters. I feel like they're just going to give him a shot, if anything. But hoping to see Lamet back. But if not, it's definitely going to be Weathers for me.
Yeah, and I think you can put these guys into, like, three different tiers where Lamet is probably, like, most likely. Weathers is probably maybe, and then Mackenzie Gore is more like the dark horse candidate where he might get that chance, but it's not very likely. Lamet, the good thing with Lamet is if he does make that first start against the Dodgers and Weathers hasn't made a start, you can probably piggyback and go Lamet for four innings and then throw Weathers another three if he succeeds. So I think that's a definite possibility that I really like. But, you know, I think we've all been waiting for Lamet to come back. We're all very excited to see, you know, our ace from last year come back. And that's definitely something that, you know, we're all looking forward to. So hopefully it is Lamet.
I agree with you guys as well. I think that it's got to be Lamet. I think he's the most likely option. I guess not got to, because I think Ryan Weathers, I think there's definitely a chance there. Mackenzie Gore, I think there's not really a shot for him to get called up yet. And I think I agree with that. I don't think it's time for him to come up yet. I think that we were kind of, I think, jumping the gun a little bit on like how early he's going to be called up. And honestly, right now, I feel like there might be a chance that CJ Abrams is that like top tier guy that gets called up before him. Because I think they're going to take their time with Gore. And I don't have a problem with that, because I think that he's the ace of the future. You know, like we've talked about this before. We definitely think he's that guy. But they don't have to bring him up for even this year or next year. I expect us to see him, but I just don't think it's quite yet. But Denilson Lamet, he's pitched at the alt site. I think it was 3-4. It was somewhere in that range. And so I don't know. I think that he's the guy that they're going to pitch. And if he's the guy that's pitching Friday, I love these matchups. Denilson Lamet versus Walker Buehler, the two guys that were studs last year. Then Yu Darvish versus Clayton Kershaw would be Saturday. You know, like the two older aces on the staff. And then Blake Snell against Trevor Bauer, I think, is the Sunday matchup. So that would be an awesome matchup of having those three guys, but I expect it to be Denilson Lamet. And Isaac, I also really like what you're saying about Ryan Weathers, because I think there's definitely a chance that that's the case. So like where they kind of bring him in after Lamet and it goes like four innings, three innings, and then why not start Friday out with Pomeranz and Melanson? I think that's the way you do it right there. If that's your guys and you're like playing well, like that should be a win. I think that they have a lot of like, not should be a win, but I think that like gives you the best chance to have just a really strong Friday game and a great season opener against the Dodgers. Cause I mean, that's the team we're chasing right now, whether you like it or not. If you're a Padres fan, like it totally is, you know, like you gotta respect it. Like they're the World Series champs. So, and I think this team's ready for it. I really think they are. So I think that's really exciting. I think that if Morejon was going to get hurt, which we definitely don't want it to be bad, and we can get into that in just a second here. But I think that if he's going to go down, like, you would like the Nelson Lamet to be healthy because that's the guy that they really need there. So at least he's coming back. It kind of helps out the injury. But about Adrian Morejon's injury, I think that the thing I'm scared about is it's a forearm strain, and we have seen other pitchers in the past not do well. Chase, who was the guy that just recently missed like almost the whole year with that?
Jose Castillo. I think it was last year. He had like he came back from like a, I think it was a finger issue, and then like the second pitch, he strained his forearm, was out the entire year. And then this year, we all know what happened. You had to have Tommy John, so I'm really hoping it's not a forearm strain.
Yeah, so we don't really know where it's at now, but the impact is that it seems like Nelson Lamet's going to get called up. If it's not him, then it's probably Ryan Weathers, and I don't really think there's a chance that Gore's going to get called up, at least right now. And also, they wouldn't have to bring anyone down. They would just move Adrian Morejon to the IL and then have Nelson Lamet, you know, take his roster spot. So it wouldn't be anyone having to get sent down. So that's, I guess, a positive as well. So scary situation. Hopefully Morejon is okay, but at least Nelson Lamet is looking like he might be back. But moving on from that, I have something very, very interesting for you guys. Victor Caratini potentially being the starting catcher. And this is with Austin Nola coming back, because this is a guy that was just like almost like a throw-in piece. It was like, it reminds me of the Cronenworth trade. We're like, oh, like he's this guy in here. No one really mentions him. You know, it's, oh, we're getting Tommy Pham. Well, this one was, oh, we're getting Yu Darvish. And I think we talked about it on the pod. I don't even know if we even like mentioned it in our initial episode. I don't know if we said a single thing about Caratini getting traded to the Padres. And I think we talked about it a little bit after, but it was like a very small portion of the conversation. You know, like we didn't really stress about it. Oh, you know, he's the backup catcher. He gets on base pretty well. He's been fantastic, and it's definitely more behind the plate. But even hitting today, and this is, we're recording this on Sunday, today he went 0-for-4, and he's still hitting .250. And he's been a guy that's come up really clutch and had some big hits at the bottom of the order. So from what we're asking our catchers to do, I think this is perfect because the pitching has been so amazing. But Chase, what do you think about that idea? Do you think Victor Caratini should be the starting catcher?
Yeah, I love Caratini. He's grown on me a lot. The way he calls games, you know, for pitchers, man, it's huge. He guided our bullpen through over 8 innings with 0 runs. He caught the no-hitter. Pitchers just seem to pitch really well to him from what we can see so far. And if we can get him just hitting .250 and hitting from both sides of the plate really well, man, that's special. And then, sure, you can say, well, what do we do with Nola? Nola was an infielder for almost his whole career before he switched to catching. He even played some outfield spots. We can play him wherever we want. Like, okay, you know what? Profar, you've been kind of been struggling. Let's throw Nola in left field. Or, you know what, Jake, you need a break. Let's take Nola and throw him at second. Or, you know what, Kim, you need a break. Throw him at short. We can throw him anywhere on the field practically. And you might even be able to pitch a blown out game. So Nola can play anywhere. I'd rather have Caratini behind the plate calling the games.
The way he calls the games and his passion for the game, like, you know, we saw how pumped he was when Pagan got out of that jam. It's undeniably fun to watch. You know, like Chase said, he caught the no-no. That was his second no-no that he's caught in the past, like, year. You know, so that just kind of shows the levels of how great he is at calling games. He benefits Darvish. He's going to be benefiting probably Musgrove. I doubt they let anyone else catch Musgrove from now on. But, you know, the success that Caratini's had with us so far in these couple games, and we've said it a lot before, 250 is better than the 100 or the 120 that Mejia and Hedges gave us. We'll take that any day. But, you know, Caratini is a great player. I'm very happy we have him, and he's definitely growing on me a lot.
I think I texted you guys this, but I basically said that I'm embarrassed that I could ever think that Hedges could become what Caratini is. It's like, you know, this like defense first catcher, like, oh yeah, like that's going to be Hedges. Like, no, he's not even close to what Caratini is, at least how Caratini's been, because he has been really, really good. He's maybe been the biggest piece that's been moved here besides Musgrove, like early on. I mean, I know Snell and Darvish are obviously amazing, but just like their instant impact, I think you got to put Caratini above those guys, just how they've looked. Not to like say that Snell or Darvish hasn't been good. Like, those guys are going to be awesome. And that's been very clear, I think, early on. But Caratini, I mean, what a sweet piece to get, right? Like, just kind of a toss and catcher. It's like, oh, this guy could become our starter. And what I'm kind of thinking is, I like what you brought up about Austin Nola being able to do that stuff. And I think he definitely could, because I think that's pretty unique for a catcher. And maybe some people like, really, like, you're going to put him in left field or second base. He has a lot and a lot of experience there. So I definitely think you're onto something there, Chase. But also, I was thinking about this. Why not have Caratini be the catcher for Darvish, Snell, and Musgrove, and then Nola be the catcher for Lamet, and then either Paddock or whoever the other fifth guy is, which I'm expecting it to be Paddock at least right now, and hopefully for the foreseeable future, because hopefully Paddock keeps starts playing a little bit better and kind of earns that fifth spot. But, I mean, what do you think about that, that 3 versus 2? Because then you could even put Nola out there, you know, one or two of the other games, and it's just, you know, just spell a guy in left field or second base. Or if someone gets injured, you could even call Campo up and have him be the backup, and then have Austin Nola kind of almost be like, all right, he's switching off with another guy at left field, you know, something like that.
Yeah, I really like that idea. It gives both catchers a day off. You know, you can still get them pinch hitting off the bench, and it kind of gives those pitchers like, okay, this is my catcher. I really just need to focus on connecting with him, which our pitchers have done a great job with. He's done a great job at calling games. And Nola, we're not going to forget, Nola calls a fantastic game too. Like when Nola got traded to the Padres last year, through what, like 3 of his first 5 games were shutouts. So we have 2 high-quality catchers that, you know, can call a game and can swing the bat pretty well. So getting them in the lineup any way possible is just the best way for the Padres to succeed.
Now we have 3 catchers that are very viable catchers that are all solid catchers. And last year we were like, oh my God, are we ever going to get a catcher? Like, are we ever actually going to have a good catcher that can call a good game and hit? You know, it's just such a good situation to have. Nola can, we brought it up in a couple videos that he can play infield. He can play outfield. He's a great hitter. He's definitely a guy that I want to keep on our team for the long run, because he is a very valuable piece and I'm excited for him to come back.
Let me know in the comments what you guys think about this Victor Caratini being the starting catcher discussion. And let me know what you think about that 3 versus 2 type situation where he's the catcher for the real aces, where those guys' games are really elevated by having a catcher that can call a fantastic game, where, you know, whoever the fifth pitcher is, which is, you know, either Paddock or I don't know, whoever this guy is, that guy doesn't get, you know, the benefit of having Caratini behind the plate. And then the other guy that doesn't really get the benefit of that would be Danilson Lamet, which is just because his game is just kind of like, hey, I'm going to have better stuff that you can't hit. You're going to know what I'm doing, but you're not really going to be able to do anything about it, where I think that kind of helps. And also, it's not to say that Austin Nola doesn't call a good game, but I just think that we've seen all of the pitchers in the rotation, in the bullpen, just the whole staff just looks so much better when Victor Caratini's out there. And so I think there's a reason to do that. But that's going to end it for this discussion. So leave the comments what you guys think. Then moving on from that, let's talk about this Pirates preview, because, I mean, just looking at it from afar, you're coming off of a 3-game sweep against the Rangers. You're about to play the Dodgers. You got to be thinking 4-game sweep, right? Like, I know that, like, every series is like, oh, you know, this team's really good. Like, we're just going to say that they sweep and stuff all the time. I think there's times where, like, all right, let's get that momentum. Let's get it going. Let's get this 7-win streak right before, you know, we play the Dodgers. I think that's a big deal. And the Pirates have looked really bad in their first few games. Like, they have not been a good team at all, as expected. But what do you guys think about that? Do you think there's a chance they do a 4-game sweep? And I would be very happy if they, you know, went 3-1. I think anything of either 3-1 or 4-0 is really what you're shooting for in this. But I definitely think there's a chance that they could have a 4-game sweep. And I think a lot of it's going to depend on how Paddock looks. But you have Darvish, Snell, and Musgrove slated. So do you guys think that's a possibility?
Yeah, I say we go 3-1. I know the Pirates sometimes just randomly out of nowhere get really good. Like, I think they beat the Cubs yesterday 8-2. It was just like, wow, I was not expecting the Pirates to beat up on the Cubbies like that. So they do have some fight in them. They do have some, like, pitching sometimes that are like, hey, you know what? This guy's really good. He's drawn flashes of brilliance. And, you know, we've seen that from the Pirates pitching staff. And then they do great somewhere else. So I don't think we should write them off as, like, it's an easy sweep. I think we will take 3 of them pretty easily, but there might be 1 game where they show some real good fight in them.
Yeah, I'd be very happy with a 3-1, and that's what I expect. It's very hard to win 7 games in a row in the MLB. But all of it's just going to depend on Paddock, because we know that Darvish is going to, you know, put up a great outing. Snell's two and Musgrove two. But it's then like you get to Paddock and you're 3-0 and you're like, dang, we might actually lose this one. Because Paddock just hasn't really shown that even against teams that aren't very heavy with good hitters, he hasn't really shown that dominant stuff that he used to show when he was a rookie against the weak teams, at least. A sweep is very possible. I fully expect us to win this series and go into the Dodgers series with a lot of momentum.
So I have a few notes for all of the starters that are projected to be in the series. So Darvish, you know, I just have do your thing. Just go out there, be Darvish, and chances are we're going to win that game if you go out there and you be yourself. Blake Snell, I want to see 7 innings. I think that would be something that would be really good to build off on him. Then going into that Dodgers series or that Dodgers game on Sunday, going 7 innings would be a really big deal. And especially if you can keep the pitch count low, because that's been the issue with him so far. Like he has a 1.86 ERA right now and he's looked really good. And that's with a 2-run home run that shouldn't have been a 2-run home run. So he's been fantastic. He just has to pitch some more innings. And I think that would just, you know, keep building upon his game. And then Joe Musgrove, we talked about it in the recap of the last series. If he keeps performing really well, I think he has a chance to be in that early Cy Young race, which would be really cool to see and really just help build the Padres momentum. You know, this hometown kid that we've really wanted to see high. Like we've been hyping him up. We really love Joe Musgrove. And, you know, oh, shoot, now they have 4 aces, like especially when you bring Lamet back. And even building upon that, then look at 2022. Like there's so much momentum for the future and just everything of the whole organization if Musgrove can be dominant and kind of just get in that Cy Young race early. And then the final thing is Chris Paddock. I said, get better so he could trade you because I think that the Paddock trade is starting to get inevitable. Not because I don't like Paddock or anything like that. Because, I mean, we've talked about Paddock a lot. I think he's probably the guy we've talked about most on our show just because he's the most polarizing. You know, like he looks really good sometimes and other times he struggles. And then he'll, you know, say something weird and we're like, dude, like, why are you saying this? Come on, man. Like, you're not helping your cause. Like, you're not helping your case. So I think that that's just the scary thing for him. Right now he has a 5.6 ERA. If he has some good starts, and if a guy like Tommy Pham or so, I don't know, someone else keeps struggling and they want to like make a move for a left fielder. I don't know what the move is that they want to make, but we could definitely see Paddock moved, I think, this year. I don't know. That's where I'm at with Chris Paddock. I just think that the writing's on the wall that he's going to be the odd man out. And especially with Mackenzie Gore coming up, you know, Ryan Weathers playing so good. Adrian Morejon was just hurt, but I mean, he's looked really good. Like there's so many guys that can take that spot. And there's already 5 guys for next season. So, like, where is your value to this team if you're out there just struggling right now? Because this is the time that we really, really need him. And he's just, it hasn't been there. So, what do you guys think about those little notes? Probably mostly Paddock.
Yeah, I agree. I would really like to see Snell go, like, 6+. I'm not saying 7 because... you know, they might pull him a little early, so he might get like a little bit more leeway against the Dodgers and might go deeper into the game. But yeah, definitely need to see improvements from Paddock, because if not, man, you're just trade bait at that point, because we have Mackenzie Gore waiting in the minors, and I'd much rather see Gore struggle through 5 innings than Paddock get lit up for 3 innings. So yeah, that's where I'm at with it.
Yeah, Darvish is for sure going to do his thing. Blake Snell, I'm hoping we get 6 at least. I'm perfectly fine with 6. That way he can throw another 6 on, I think it's Sunday, against Bauer and the Dodgers. Joe Musgrove, we know he's going to do his thing too. I hope he only throws 5, so that way he can throw more if he has to throw against the Dodgers. If something unexpected happens, you know, who knows. And he was just on a huge pitch. I think it was like 112 pitches. So I think 5 innings for him is reasonable. But with the whole Chris Paddock thing, it's just very hard to tell for a lot of people, including me. It's like, you know, what value do you bring to this team if you're not throwing more than 4 innings? If you're not even giving us 4 shutout innings, like, we don't need you to be the Chris Paddock that we thought you were going to be. We just need you to be a good 4th or 5th starter, a guy that's going to hover around 3 or 4 ERA, but is going to give us 6 innings, not just 4, because we need to be able to give the bullpen some rest. And it's funny because we were talking earlier, we just threw out some names and it's most likely not going to happen. We threw out like Marte, a Rosarena, like some crazy stuff. And it's probably not going to happen. But, you know, at this point, we're all kind of like, you know, if you don't start showing some value to this team, what you can bring to us, you're going to get traded. And I am a fan of Chris Paddock, but, you know, at the same time, I got to be realistic.
Yeah, no, and Isaac, I feel like you've been the guy that's been, like, the most, like, all right, like, hopefully he bounces back, you know, like, really eager to see him improve. And it just hasn't really happened, so it's been a little bit frustrating. But I feel like, I don't know, how many bad starts of Chris Paddock can you guys watch until it's like, hey, let's put Gore in there?
I got another 3 starts at most. 5 starts in the MLB is a lot. We have 162 games. Guys usually get 30 to maybe 35 starts at most. That's a 6th of the season. If you can't show any improvements within like 5-6 starts of the season, I don't think you're going to improve that much. So I give it another 3 starts at most. And if not, please bring Gore up and make Paddock a bullpen piece. Like, make him like a Fernando Rodney type piece. Not saying he will live up to Fernando Rodney and what he was able to accomplish in certain years, but he could be a really solid 1, maybe 2 inning guy, but that's pushing it.
That's something I kind of thought about too, Chase, is that maybe he can be that guy to the bullpen that can give us 1-2 innings, but he definitely can't go around a second time against the lineup because he will probably get rocked, especially against like the Dodgers. I just think he's going to end up as a bullpen piece. I love Chris Paddock. I've shown a lot of empathy and a lot of patience. I'm going to say I'm going to give him 1 or 2 games. The reason I say 1 or 2 is because if he sucks against the Pirates, all hope is lost, dude. You just sucked against the Rangers, the Pirates, and the Diamondbacks. So, you know, those are 3 teams that aren't really contenders that we can't really even think of like as hanging with us. Like, you know, we're the top tier teams and they're bottom tier. So if you can't pitch against those guys and give us solid outings, 5-6 innings, it's done. But the reason I say 2 also is because if he pitches well against the Pirates and then somehow makes his way to face the Dodgers, you're done. If you suck against the Dodgers, you're done, because that just shows us you can't pitch against good teams.
No, I get it. It's just, I don't know, man. It's scary. I feel like those numbers sound pretty low, 1, 2, and 3. But like, you start to think about it, 5 starts is a lot. You know, 4 starts is a lot too. 3 starts even. It's like, and it's not like he's looked horrible. Like, he's looked all right, but the problem is that it's the stuff that hasn't got better. And it hasn't got better for so long. And it's like, okay, are you ever going to make this improvement? Because that's the difference. If you're struggling, but you're making improvements and it's like, oh, it's something new and you're like, you're adjusting it and it takes a little bit longer to you know, become a really good player, that's one thing. But if adjustments are slowly being made and you can see that, oh, hey, like say you came into this year and the fastball wasn't, you know, running and like looking all weird and the velocity wasn't changing and stuff, but he got rocked a couple times, you know, got unlucky. And it wasn't like, you know, just like a couple bombs. And it wasn't just like where it's like hit after hit after hit after hit. If it wasn't that kind of stuff, then I think we'd have a different approach on it. And it's not like he has to, like, doesn't have to, like, if he just improves a little bit, I think we'll be a little, like, a lot happier with, okay, we don't need to like jump to like the bullpen yet. Like, okay, he's doing better. He's improving a little bit. But I agree, like, he's getting on a short leash, because if he doesn't improve, it's like, okay, we're trying to win the division. And you're not helping our case at all. Like, yeah, we beat the Rangers when you struggled. And it wasn't like that bad, you know, 3 runs in 4 innings. But it was the way that it happened. And I feel like that's been our issue with him. So I don't know. That's just kind of where I'm with him. But I think that's going to wrap it up for this preview episode. But anything else you guys want to say before we take off? All right, awesome. Well, then that's going to wrap it up for today's episode. If you guys aren't subscribed and you're just watching this one, I know, like, I think it's like 80% of people that watch aren't subscribed. Make sure to subscribe if you're Padres fans, even if you're other MLB fans and you're excited about this Padres, I guess, I don't know, rise to being a good team, because it's been a long time for Padres fans out here and we haven't really got to see that. So it's been super fun. It's also been super fun, everyone commenting and stuff and interacting with our, you know, channel and whatnot. And so that's been really cool to see. So we all appreciate that a lot, but thanks everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you guys soon.